In the late 1970s, maybe as late as the early 1980s, the idea of communism had a funny life within the Soviet Union. On the one hand, communism was a glorious idea. No one dared doubt its truth, at least to anyone they didn't trust. It was quite literally the party line. On the other hand, communism had obviously failed. Everyone recognized it had not worked, at least not in the Soviet Union. Yet skepticism notwithstanding, the parades continued, the praise of Lenin and Marx was never greater, and the system puttered along in pursuit of its glorious ideal until, suddenly, it collapsed. Almost overnight, the party line flipped. One day, communism was truth, the next day, it was a lie. We live in a similar time. Not at the same scale, not with the same consequence, but with a faint echo of the same dynamic. Obviously for us, the vulnerable idea is not communism. For us, the vulnerable idea is democracy itself. We live in a time when, on the one hand, democracy is a glorious idea. No one serious or no one in power openly questions it. Everyone rallies to its obvious truth. Every problem of government has an obvious remedy, more democracy. Every corruption is simply the corruption of the will of the people. The people are truth. None can deny them. As the famed American political scientist Robert A. Dahl put it almost 60 years ago, to reject the democratic creed is in effect to refuse to be an American. On the other hand, and increasingly, most everyone has a sense that this democracy is failing. The people are ignorant or stupid. The politicians pander to the worst of both. Serious problems can't be addressed with more democracy. Serious issues can't even be discussed seriously. Confidence in the institutions of democracy has never been lower, and nothing on the horizon of the plausible seems to give any real hope. This skepticism has more than just grumpiness behind it. Some of the very best in political science argue there is no good reason to trust the people to do anything. We not only don't know what we are talking about, but even worse, when we learn something, we seem to know even less. For anyone with courage enough to utter this truth, or if not courage, at least tenure, there is no good reason to recommend democracy, even if, to remix Churchill, there is no obviously better idea. This is a precarious place to stand. For as with communism in 1989, I fear that we too are facing a certain collapse. Democracy has battled populism and authoritarianism before, but when it did, there was at least a faith in their alternative, democracy. Today, there is no faith. The best and brightest turned west, not east, to Silicon Valley, not Washington, D.C. The future is technology, and hence technocracy, not a better functioning democracy. Artificial intelligence, AI, will decide for us. Automatic contracts enforced through something called a blockchain will bind us. The very rich will give us the best security they can. It will be good enough for them, at least, given the alternative is so dreadfully hopeless. And for the rest, the operative term is not hopeless, but certainly much less hope. The future is not doom. This is America. But without repair, democracy has none of the promise of the democracy in our past. This is something new. There was a time not so long ago when democracy was obvious, a time when it was the clear solution to the world's ills to be spread as broadly and as completely as possible. That was the objective of reform across much of the 20th century. That was its singular achievement. In 1942, there were 9 democratic states across the world. By 1975, there were 34. By the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, that number had risen to 63. Democracy had become the default. At the end of history, only rogues would deny rule by the people.